Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
It's Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio. Houston loses game one last night. Game two last night. Game two tonight between the Raptors and the Cavaliers. Game two, Boston and the Philadelphia 76ers. Let's get to that. And Charles Barkley versus Draymond Green. Tim Cato on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline, SB Nation. Tim, Matt Perrault, how are you?
Hey, Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the time. Let's start with Houston. I know you were at the Rockets game last night looking at Utah and what they did. You know, should we talk about Quinn Snyder more than we do about being a really, really good coach in the NBA?
You know, if it was up to me, we would just keep talking about Quinn Snyder because, man, I love that dude. You know, he's a great quote for the media, but he is a sensational coach. And, you know, I do think that, you know, some of his adjustments, you know, it wasn't, you know, necessarily groundbreaking stuff. He didn't invent new ways to play basketball, but, you know, he made subtle and important tweaks. And I think the Jazz really looked ready to play. So I think it's both a combination, you know, of a game plan that made sense. And also a coach that just knows how to implement it with his players. And he's very good at making sure that, you know, from 1 to 10 on the roster, everybody who goes into the game, you know, they know what they're doing and that they're well aware of what the game plan is. And I think that showed last night in game two.
You know, one of the biggest differences between game one and game two was the fact that Joe Ingles was 1 of 3 from behind the arc in game one. He was 7 of 9 from behind the arc in game number two. Was that something that Quinn Snyder did, or was that just a defense that was laying off? How did Ingles get 9 shots in game two versus 3 behind the arc in game one?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of two things. And certainly, you know, I do think that, you know, Ingles had a few shots that, you know, may not, you know, they may not be shots he hits, you know, every game. You know, certainly going 7 of 9 is very difficult for everyone. Although, you know, at the same time, we should note that Ingles is, I believe, the leading 3-point shooter over the last 2 years if you kind of average everybody's percentages up. I do think that, that Houston's defense, especially in the first half, but in a couple instances on Ingles in the second half as well, you know, was just not good enough. And for Houston, you know, you think of their offense, but they were a sensational defensive team in the regular season. And I just don't think those switches were clean enough. And, you know, they switch on almost everything. But, you know, both their switching defenses and also some of their transition defense left Ingles wide open. I want to say he had 3 or 4 or 5 wide open looks. And that's just inexcusable for, like I said, a player who is, you know, arguably the best three-point shooter in terms of percentage. You know, obviously he's probably behind players like Steph Curry. But, you know, he's a top 7, top 8, top 10 shooter in this league. And you just cannot leave him wide open. And Houston has to clean that up going forward.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I mean, if you're a Rockets fan and you see the fact that James Harden scores over 30 points and you lose, how concerning was that loss last night going forward? Is it one game and that's it? Or is this series really going to be a tough one for the Rockets?
I could see it being a tough one. I could see the Rockets winning in 5 games still. You know, I think there were some, you know, a couple troubling signs for the Rockets and just the, you know, how quickly the Jazz started game planning and really, you know, using that switching defense at times to their advantage. I also think that, you know, like I said before, you know, it wasn't all Utah taking advantage of it. Some of it was just lazy defense. And that's why Rockets fans may also feel kind of good about this game, because I clearly think that Houston can play better. They do need to get a little bit more out of their role players. Ryan Anderson, Bob Mute, both those guys were, you know, not good at all in the game. Trevor Ariza and DJ Tucker haven't quite been good enough, especially shooting the basketball. Eric Gordon was actually very good defensively, I thought, last night, especially when, you know, Houston really turned it up in the third quarter. But you know, he has not, I think he's still shooting about 30% in the playoffs. So yeah, you know, we know Harden could do it. We know Chris Paul will do it most nights. I do think the rest of the team needs to pick it up a little bit more. And, you know, we saw that they could do it in the regular season. That's how Houston won 65 games. I think the fans should be confident that they can get back there.
Tim Cato, SB Nation, joining us here on Pushing the Odds. Game two tonight, Eastern Conference semifinals, Cavaliers and the Raptors. Cavaliers, again, underdogs in this game, even though they won game number one. It's a must-win game, clearly, for Toronto. But if you're a Raptors fan, how concerned are you that LeBron didn't go for his patented 40-plus game and you still lost? Do you expect the role players to be as good in Game 2 as they were in Game 1 for Cleveland?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be quite as good, you know, but I don't know, maybe they are. You know, it's one of those weird things where, you know, clearly throughout the postseason they haven't been living up to these standards, you know, it's really hard to tell with that team. You know, it's another situation where if I'm a Cleveland fan, I'm like, you know, there's more, LeBron is more in a tank, he can give the team more, you know, they have every reason to be confident. But if I'm a Raptors fan, I'm like, you know, one tipping goes in, and that's a win. That's a win in regulation. And, you know, in a game that I think the Raptors outplayed the Cavaliers for about 44 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, so I still like Toronto in this series, you know, just by a little bit. And, man, that makes me feel awful thinking against LeBron. But, you know, I still think that I saw enough good things from Toronto. And, you know, their collapse at the end was strange, but I don't necessarily think that, you know, it's going to hold over. Certainly, at least I hope not. You know, I want to believe in this team and believe in the team I saw in the regular season. And, you know, it wasn't there at the end of last game, but, you know, also one tip shot goes in. And, you know, it is an entirely different narrative headed into game two. And I think that's a pretty clear sign that that Toronto fans shouldn't be panicking just yet.
Tim, what do you do with Tristan Thompson and the 9 offensive rebounds that he got in game one? He didn't play much at all in the first series. Yet here in game number one, he had a massive impact, and he changes the way the Cavaliers play. He slows down the game, which I think against Toronto is actually a good thing for the Cavaliers. What do you do with Tristan Thompson? Do you play him more, or do you keep Kevin Love where he is as the starting five?
I don't know if you go to Thompson in the starting five just yet, especially after a win. I think you're okay keeping the same starting five. But I do think Thompson needs to keep playing a big role. You know, I thought he should have been playing more in the Pacers series, in fact. You know, I thought especially after the first couple games, they really had no reason not to try him. I thought he gave the team about 9 minutes at some point, and I thought those were pretty good 9 minutes, I think, in game four. And they didn't really bring him back until the final couple games of the series. So, you know, I know Thompson fell out of the rotation for, you know, various reasons, and some of them are probably deserved. But I think now that the team's back in the postseason and the way that he's playing right now, he definitely needs to be a part of that rotation.
Tim Cato, SB Nation's our guest. All right, let's talk about tonight, game number two, Boston and Philadelphia. Celtics with a big win in game number one. I don't think that happens in game number two, but what happens if the three-point shot is not falling tonight for the Sixers? Do they have another way to beat Boston in your mind?
Yeah, I think they do, and I think, you know, with Embiid and with Simmons, you know, that they, you know, obviously this is a boom or bust team in terms of the three-point shooting. You know, at some point the shots are going to fall, but, you know, I think there's enough they can do. And really, it's less offensively. It's more just about playing the defense they know they can play. You know, Philly had a very good defense during the regular season, and that's something they do need to do against the Celtics. You know, as they go ahead, as I drive into a small rainstorm here, hopefully this is too audible.
You're all good. It's Texas. it happens, for sure. Do you expect another great performance out of Jason Tatum? Because Jaylen Brown is not going to play. He's doubtful. But Tatum's got to pick up the slack. Do you think he can do that in back-to-back games for Boston?
I think Tatum has proven all season that he is way ahead of where he should be as a rookie. You know, he's been, you know, there's been a lot of surprising rookies. I'm as surprised as Tatum as anyone. You know, Donovan Mitchell is obviously a great candidate, Kyle Kuzma. But, man, I did not expect anything like this from Tatum. I expected he'd hit a rookie wall at some point. You know, and he just hasn't. He looks like a 25, 26-year-old veteran. You know, with all the eager and optimism of a guy who's fresh into the league, as any rookie should be. So, you know, he's been just an incredible story for them, and it gives them a really good, you know, lot of optimism for that team going forward.
Tim, we'll let you go, my friend. I don't want you to have any issues driving that rainstorm. We appreciate the time today. Thanks for coming on.
There.
No worries, man. That's Tim Cato from SB Nation on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I don't know if you guys have ever been through a Texas rainstorm like that, but you don't really want to be driving and being distracted by any means. It sounded like that was starting to come down pretty hard, and you can lose visibility pretty quick. I've been in them. I used to live in Houston, and I've done the drive from Houston to Dallas, and you drive through the middle of absolutely nowhere. And so I wanted to we'll get one question in, and then I wanted to let him go. I didn't want to really put him into a situation where he might be getting himself in danger driving. So we appreciate Tim Cato for coming in. Well, one thing I didn't ask him that I wanted to get into with him is this report out that Boston, throughout the entire year with Al Horford, they limited his number of reps, meaning when they ran scout team and they ran scrimmages, they gave extra players on Al Horford's team at all times. Now, the reason for that is that Brad Stevens wanted Al Horford to be as fresh as possible for the postseason. And there's been a marked difference from Al Horford in the regular season to Al Horford in the postseason. And everyone's wondering, well, where did this come from? The aggressiveness. He's commanding the basketball. He's demanding the basketball. He's hitting jump shots like crazy, and we've seen him do that. But the aggressiveness around the basket has been a real big surprise. And he has to match Joel Embiid. He probably won't outplay Joel Embiid in this series. Joel Embiid's just a very special talent. But if he can match the productivity and limit the impact, that's how Boston wins this series. Now, again, I don't believe Boston has a team currently constructed, in particular without Jaylen Brown. I think the plan is to get Jaylen Brown back for Game 3, by the way, but I think that's why they're resting him and not playing him tonight. But I think if they could somehow be up 2-0, I think the Philadelphia games, I think Boston knows they're going to be very very, very hard-pressed to win on the road. They didn't win on the road in Milwaukee. I don't think they went on the road in Philadelphia. Having home court, I think, is a gigantic deal. And I think Brad Stevens is going to try his darndest. I think they know the way they advance is a 7-game series at home, riding the home court. I think Boston's going to have to win every game at TD Garden. And I think they can do that. Now, that means they would be undefeated at home through the first two series of the playoffs. That's quite remarkable to do that. But that, I think, is the recipe for Boston to win this. That's why I thought favoring Philadelphia as a massive favor in this series, I thought was a mistake. And tonight, I think, is the most important piece to all that. I think if Boston loses tonight in Game 2, I think the series might be over. I think it's that big. Philly has to win one game in Boston to win this series, and if they do that in Game 2, I just don't give Boston much of a chance to go on the road where Philadelphia is young. They can ride that crowd. They're a different team at home. They're going to shoot the ball better at home. They're going to ride the emotion. Boston is a very tough place to play, and I thought the Sixers, the youngsters, were a little bit taken aback at the atmosphere in Game number 1. They weren't really ready. This level, they've never been there. They've never played at that. We talked about the comments from Joel Embiid. He did take responsibility, saying, it starts with me. We were all bad. But the fact that they weren't ready, I think, is a major indictment on Brett Brown, their head coach. And we'll see what the adjustments are made for game number 2. I think tonight's very tight. I think tonight comes down to a 1 or 2 possession game. And I believe that Boston's going to have to find a way to stop Joel Embiid and or Ben Simmons with the game on the line. I'm not so sure they can do that. But if they win game 2, I do think Boston's chances to win this series goes way, way up. If they can protect their home court, Boston wins the series, obviously. That's not the only way, but I think that's a realistic way for them to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals for a second straight year. Got more to come. It's Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio.